This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
جزاكم الله خيرا for watching. Is that camera okay since it fell? الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So we're continuing inshallah ta'ala with our discussion on عروض التجارة, the zakah that is due upon business goods. And what remains for us to talk about is to talk about some of the masail that are related to urud at-tijara. Some things that we hadn't yet discussed, or maybe we discussed them briefly, but we didn't get into the details of them, or we weren't able to cover all of the aspects of them. So the very first thing that we have to cover is, do you pay zakah on business goods in cash according to their value, or do you pay out of the business goods themselves? This is a matter that the scholars differed over. And the Hanafiyya and Imam al-Shafi'i, in one of the opinions that is known from him, they held the opinion that it is permissible to pay the zakah out of the business goods themselves. And the majority from the Malikiyya and the Shafi'iyya in one opinion, and from the Hanabila, they held the opinion that it is not permissible. You have to pay in cash. And they use the evidence of the hadith, قَوِّمْهَا ثُمَّ أَدِّ زَكَاتَهَا. قَوِّمْهَا, value your goods, then pay the zakah. And the evidence of value your goods, قَوِّمْهَا, make for them a qima, make for them a cash value, then pay the zakah on them in cash. A cash value, then pay the zakah on them in cash. And it seems to me, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best, that the rajih, the more correct of the two opinions, is that it is permissible. And that is what Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, يَجُوزُ إِخْرَاجُ زَكَاتِ الْعُرُودِ أَرْضًا. It is permissible for you, it is permissible for you to pay the zakah on business goods. It is permissible for you to pay that zakah on business goods out of the goods themselves. However, what we would say is that the safer opinion for the one who is able is that the person should pay in cash, but let's say they don't have that cash available to them, which it could be the case, they don't have the cash available to them, then in this case, they have to pay from the goods that they have available to them, or they can sell the goods and they can use the cash to pay the zakat. That is the first issue that we wanted to deal with on that issue. The second issue that we want to deal with is the issue of joining together money and business goods. Joining together money and business goods. So the business has really three things that need to be considered for zakah. The first thing that needs to be considered for zakah is the cash that is available to the business. The cash at, what do they call it in accounting? Cash at hand? The cash at hand. In accounting terms in English, they call it. We're not talking about Ra's al-Mal, we're talking about the money that is an-nuqood, the nuqood which is present within the company, the cash assets of the company. The second thing is the urud at-tijara, the business goods that are available for the company. So the company has cash assets and it has business goods. That's the second thing. And the business goods, we said, it doesn't matter whether they are produced or raw materials. It doesn't matter if they are raw materials. So he bought material to sew clothing. The material is also part of it. And the ready-made clothing which is sewn is also part of it. And the third thing that the company has is the company has الدُّيُون الْمَرْجُوَّةِ. They have debts that are owed to them that they believe will be given back. And this is the mas'ala of debt is a different issue that we will talk about later if we haven't talked about it already. But generally, the debts which are expected to be paid back. In other words, the person, you know, we're confident, inshallah, the person is going to pay that debt back, inshallah ta'ala, next week, next month, and so on. So those are the three things that the company has to look at. And all of them get put together, all of them get put together when looking at the zakah which is due. How much is the zakah? The zakah is rub' al-ushr, a quarter of a tenth, 2.5%. What does the minimum amount have to reach? Add the total of the debts which are expected to be paid back, plus the cash at hand, plus the value of the business goods. You add up the total. If it is more than the value of 595 grams of silver, then you have to pay zakat on it, and you pay 2.5%. We had already explained that there is no zakat due upon the things that the business does not prepare for sale. So business has equipment, right? And they have fixed assets, and they have things that they have bought to use, not to sell. So for example, let's take the example of a factory. Let's take the example of a factory. This factory produces clothing. In the factory, there are machines to make the clothing, stitch the clothing. These machines have no zakat due upon them because they are not mu'idda, or they are not something which has been, like they say, yu'addu lil bay'. They are not something which has been prepared for sale. The business has the factory that they bought, but the factory is not prepared for sale, right? The factory is not ready for sale. The factory is just for putting the machines in. Will they sell it later on? Maybe, but that doesn't matter, does it? We said it doesn't matter if they sell it later on, because for something to be from urud al-tijara, from the business goods, it has to be bought for the intention of selling it. Not something that you happen to sell later on. Someone says, oh, maybe they will sell the factory in 2 years. Maybe. But they didn't buy the factory for the price to go up so that they could sell the factory. So there is no zakat due upon their factory. There is no zakat due upon their machinery. There is no zakat due upon the things that they are using, but they're not selling. They are using them, but they're not selling them. But they do have raw materials. It's a clothing factory, so they have raw material, whether it is silk or cotton or polyester, they have raw material. And they have finished goods. The goods are coming off the line and they are coming into, you know, the boxes, and they're ready, finished goods. So the finished goods are a part of that. And likewise, the raw materials are a part of that. Now remember here that the hawl, the time to start, starts when the money is prepared for purchasing those things. So in reality, it doesn't really matter whether the business sells or doesn't sell. If they don't sell for a year, those things, then they become urud al-tijara, which zakah is due upon them. And if they sell them, then the profit that they make from it is also going to become accountable for the zakah, except what they invest again into something else. But when you invest into something else, and this is the next point that I want to deal with, which is what they call al-mal al-mustafad. We mentioned it last week, but just to emphasize it. The money that you get, or profit you get, from the original amount. So let's say here, the factory took an investment of £10,000. With that £10,000, they bought clothing, they bought the raw materials, polyester, cotton, and they started to make things with it. And they sold some of those things, and they made a profit from it. And again, later on, they used that money and they bought something, and then they sold it, they made a profit from it. It's all coming from the original amount, right? It's all coming ribh from the same thing. In this case, the year that is counted is the first year. It doesn't get a new year every time they buy and sell something. It continues to be due at the time of the first year. That's the wealth that is gained during that year. Like we said, in salary, it's not like that. So in salary, every month is given a new year. Does that make sense? Every month you receive your salary, you have one full Islamic year to pay your zakah. You receive your salary, one full Islamic year, every month. But here, because the money is all coming from the same original amount, all of the money that is due during the year has the same time for zakah. It doesn't have another year and another year. So they sell from their clothing. Let's give the example of the clothing factory. They, from their clothing, they sell in month one, 10%. In month two, 10%. In month three, 10%. In month four, 10%. And so on. After 10 months, they finished selling everything. All of the zakah is due at the same time, 1 year from the first investment. All of it is due at the same time. All of it is due at the same time. It's not the case that the first month gets a year, and the second month gets a year, and the third month gets a year, and the fourth month gets a year, and the fifth month gets a year. All of them go in the first time, by the first time the zakah was started, because they are all mal mustafad. They are all profit gained from the same thing. So there is no need to give each one a different year. And so the simplest way of doing that, right, is to look at the investment that comes into the business, start the year, and then every Islamic year after that, you're going to be paying your zakah. And you're not going to be counting how much money did I receive in this month and how much did I receive in this month. You simply get to the end of the year, you look at the cash assets, you look at the stock that you have that is prepared for sale, or the raw materials that you have, and you look at the debts which are expected to be paid back, and you pay zakah upon all of it. Every Islamic year that goes by, and if you get some more profit coming, then that's counted as part of the first year and so on. And every time a year goes by, that's how you take the zakah. Every time a year goes by, keep doing it again and again and again and so on. Every time that the year goes, Islamic year goes by. What about different investors? Different investors come into a company at different times. So, as you know, like, it's not always the case that the three investors come into the company at the exact same time. All three investors come into the company at the exact same time. In fact, it might be, there are two issues that we need to look at here. The first one is a situation where the zakah comes early, and a situation where the zakah could potentially be delayed. So we have multiple investors, more than one person is investing. The first option is that each investor's year is personal to them. Each investor's year is personal to them. So, because they each brought a new amount of money, right? They brought a new amount of money. So each investor has a hawl, an Islamic year, which is personal to them. Does that make sense? I invested in Ramadan, my zakah in that portion of the money that I invested, my zakah is Ramadan. First of Ramadan. Another brother came, he invested in Dhul Hijjah. His zakah for that portion of money that he invested is due in Dhul Hijjah. Another brother came and he invested in Muharram. That amount of money is due in Muharram. That's an example where it comes late. But there could be an example when it comes early. And that is when they say that the zakah is due on those individuals when they got the money, to purchase the shares. So as soon as they got the money to purchase the shares, their hawl starts. So it might be that an investor comes along in Ramadan, but he's actually had that money to invest since how long? Maybe he's had it since Rabi' al-Awwal. So his hawl is actually Rabi' al-Awwal, not Ramadan. Because we don't look at when he actually put the money in, but we actually look at when he first had that money available to him. And that's because really, urud al-tijara is a branch of zakah upon money. It's an example of zakah upon money. Okay? So this is something important that we need to bear in mind, that sometimes it's the case that people pay their zakah late, because he looks at when he bought the shares. He looks at, when did I buy the shares? He doesn't look at, when did I get the money to buy the shares? As soon as he had the money to buy the shares, then that becomes a part of the urud al-tijara, the cycle of business goods and trade and investment, and his zakah is counted from that time. It is also possible if the company, or this is the next issue that we need to deal with, who pays the zakah? The company or the shareholder? Who pays the zakah? The company or the shareholder? And the answer, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best, is that in reality, either of them, but someone has to do it. Either the company can pay the zakah and be clear to the shareholders that we are going to pay the zakah that is due upon this. We're going to pay the zakah of the company, and we're talking about the zakah of the company, we're going to pay it. Or they leave each owner, each shareholder, to calculate their own time and their own zakah, and they are responsible for paying it. But if they gather it together, so if the company does it, then there's two options. Either they gather it together, or either they keep each investor separately. If they gather it all together, what has to happen? They have to gather it together according to the first investor, not according to the third one. Because the first time it's due is the first investor's time limit, right? First investor was Ramadan. He said, I got the money in Ramadan, I put it straight into my business. He said, I got the money in Ramadan, and I put it into the business in Ramadan. Okay, this is the first investor. That means that the company is going to calculate completely. If it wants to calculate all together, if it wants to just have one accounting period and bring it all together, then it has to calculate it according to the time period of the earliest investor, not according to the time period of the latest one. Otherwise, each one, they can keep it individual, and it's up to the person. But if the company isn't taking care of the zakah, then that becomes the obligation upon the individual according to the best of their ability, or according to the money that they receive as profit from their shares, the dividends they receive from their shares, the value of their shares, and so on. Have we got more to talk about in shares? Because shares come under the same ruling. Let's have a look. Before we deal with that, we do have another issue to deal with. What about companies? What about companies that are service companies? What about companies that are service companies? They don't sell any products. They offer a service, like a maintenance company. Or, yeah, let's use an example of someone who has no products at all, right? Nothing. They have no products at all. They have no uruda tijara. So we're not talking about a garage. A garage might have some car parts ready for sale. We're talking about a service company, a cleaner, for example, a cleaning company. They don't have anything they sell. We don't sell you anything. We come with our machinery, we clean your masjid, we clean your house, we clean your carpet. We don't have anything to sell. How do they give their zakah? They only need to look at two things. They only need to look at cash that is coming back to them. And they only need to look at the debts which are expected to be paid. Because they don't have any urud tijara. They don't have any products that are prepared for sale. But maybe some of these companies do have some products prepared for sale, right? Like maybe they sell you cleaning products, or maybe they sell you, you know, bottles of carpet cleaner or something. They have like something they sell, so they have to count that. But let's presume that they have nothing at all. Someone who does software programming or something like that. He says, I work, I'm a consultant, or I'm an engineer or something. I come in, I do the job, like an accountant or so, whatever. I come in, I do the job, and I bill you for it. I don't sell you anything. So in that case, the issue here is not an issue of urud tijara, but the issue is an issue of profit. They look at the cash that is in hand available to the business. And remember, when you use that same cash to buy something else, then it becomes part of the same cycle. Okay, that was that issue that we wanted to deal with. We already mentioned that it makes no difference whether a person makes things for themselves or whether a person buys and sells things that are already made. We'd already covered that. And we've covered, and we just want to clarify, just to make sure that this is understood. If someone bought something with the same amount of wealth, right? They had that initial investment, and they bought something a year ago, and they bought something a day ago. So with that initial investment, something they bought 1 year ago, something they bought 1 day ago. Does the thing they bought 1 day ago count in their zakat? Or do they have to wait a year for it? So they had initial investment, they had an investment amount. Okay? £10,000. £8,000, they spent it on the first day or the first week. They spent it, they bought their goods, they've been selling them, they've been buying them. 1 day before their zakat is due, they bought some more of those goods 1 day before the zakah is due. So they spent the other 2,000 and they bought some more things to sell. Is that counted? Or do they have to wait a year? What do you think? It's counted because it's from the same amount. It's from the same investment amount. So it doesn't matter whether they bought it a day ago or a year ago. At the end of the day, if a year has passed since that money came into their possession, then that investment came into their possession, it doesn't matter whether they bought the goods a year ago or they bought the goods a day ago, they pay the zakat upon it all at the same time because it's all from the same amount of wealth that the timer has been running. Since they took the wealth into their possession, the timer has been ticking. The timer has been going. Since the time that they took it into their possession, the timer has been ticking. And it doesn't matter whether they bought those goods. They don't say, I bought this a day ago. It's not included. Say no. So that's why it makes sense from the time of that initial investment that they run a yearly Islamic Hijri year timer. And every year they count everything regardless of whether it was bought a day ago or whether it was bought a year ago. And we also mentioned when we talked about cash at hand, it doesn't matter whether that cash at hand is gold or silver or currency. The cash at hand that the business has. It doesn't matter if it is gold or silver or currency. All of it comes in. All of it comes in together. We'd already spoken yesterday, or not yesterday, last week, we had already spoken about the issue of intention and the different options for intention, so we don't need to cover that one now. We've already spoken about intention and the different options for intention, like are you buying it for the purpose of selling it, or buy it for the purpose, or buying it with equal purpose. We've already spoken about that. And that one we'd already covered. I think many of these issues we had covered. The next issue that we have to deal with is the issue of al-khulta, the issue of separate investors. Is each investor considered to be separate wealth, or are they considered to be the same wealth? The example of this is a company has just reached the nisab, just reached the minimum amount. And it's owned half by one person and half of the company by another person. If each person looks at what they own, they don't own enough to pay the zakah. But if the company is looked at together, then the zakah is due. So this is a matter about which the scholars differed. And they differed about it upon the issue of whether this mixing is considered valid outside of cattle. So as for cattle, like sheep and cows and camels, it's counted. But the question is it, we said that already in cattle, if you and your friends have, you know, share half the sheep and half the sheep in one pasture, in one place, it's counted. But now the issue is, does that affect elsewhere? Does that affect elsewhere? And this is a matter which the scholars differed about. And the rajih, wallahu a'lam, is that the wealth of the company is considered to be one. The wealth of the company is considered to be one, rather than considering it to be separate. So an example of that, you could have a company that has 1,000 partners in it, especially in the times of shares. And maybe the individual shares might not add up to the nisab. Maybe some people's does. For example, let's take one of these big companies. Let's take a big company. Maybe there are many, many people who only own less than £200 of that company. They just own £50 of shares. If we take the opinion that al-khulta, mixing up, is not counted, then all of those people that just own 50 of shares, none of them pay zakah. The only ones who pay zakah are the ones who own lots of shares. But if we say that it affects, and that was the opinion that was taken by the majma'a al-fiqh al-islami, was the opinion of Shaykh ibn Thaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, that it's all counted as one, then it doesn't matter if everyone owns 50 pound. It only matters the total cash assets, the total value of goods and so on. That's what matters, not the fact that as an individual I only own a small amount. And the mas'ala is a mas'ala khilafiyya, the scholars differed over it. and some of them. Or what they added to this is, they added to it a condition. The condition they added to it is for it to be one. They said, this is when the wealth is not visibly separable. What do we mean by that? It's not easy to say. Like, if each one of them has separate wealth that is, and separate products. For example, let's say you have a business where you have a shop selling groceries and you have a meat counter selling meat, and the meat counter is owned by a different person and the grocery area is owned by a different person. Here, is it not possible to see the difference? You can see which one owns this and which one owns that. So here you can count the zakah separately, because it's very clear that he owns the meat section. And so we can take the zakah of the meat section separately, and we can take the zakah of the grocery section separately, because it's clear that this one and this one are separate. However, when the wealth is not distinguishable, you can't tell the difference between this and this, you're just sharing the same thing, I don't know which cans are mine and which cans are yours, then the wealth being put together is al-ahwat. It's the safer opinion. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best that it is the safer opinion of the two opinions, even though the Jumhur are of the opinion that you keep it separate. These are most of the issues that we wanted to deal with. That relate to urud at-tijara. There was one or two other ones I wanted to see. Let me see, this one is, I wanted to deal with this one. This is important. We already mentioned that the amount should be counted at the end of the year. There is one more issue that I wanted to deal with. This is the last issue from the Masail. There's a lot of Masail, but this is the one that I wanted to deal with. As it relates to investment, is the zakah due upon the value of the investment and the profit, or only the profit? Let me give you in an easier way. Shares. Is the zakah due upon the value of the shares, or is the zakah due upon the dividend, or is the zakah due upon both? That's our mas'ala here. Is the zakah due upon the value of the shares? So I own £10,000 of shares. Those £10,000 of shares, they pay me a dividend. Less.
Or maybe it muted.
Okay, so as I was saying, the reason we spent so long on it is I see, to be honest, that a lot of people are involved in this. Many of us, even if we're not full-time businessmen, a little bit of investment here, a little bit of a, you know, sharing a business here, a little bit of looking to try and invest some money in this, buying a house for the purpose of selling it, you know, maybe even trading on eBay. How many people there are who are, you know, buying and selling on eBay just on the side, you know, like just buy something with the intention of selling it. But as I mentioned, eBay, then you divide into two types, right? Selling your personal stuff does not fall under urud al-tijara. Selling your own personal things. Because you're not selling something you bought for the purpose of trade. But the people who buy things to sell, so some of the brothers they were mentioning, they were, what were they saying? They were saying they buy things off of Facebook Marketplace and they sell them on eBay. This falls under urud al-tijara. It falls under urud al-tijara. Why? Because they bought it for the purpose of selling it. So I wanted to cover many of the issues. I don't think I covered every issue relating to urud al-tijara. There are just too many, but I just covered the ones that I think most people probably deal with, or many people deal with. And inshallah ta'ala, people should ask about their own situation to make sure. The main purpose of this class is not to give a fatwa to individual people, but it's just to educate people that this exists. So if you are buying and selling, you know what urud al-tijara is. You are buying things with the intention of selling them. You are investing in a business that is buying things and selling them. Or you're investing in a business to make profit, like shares. All of this comes under the topic of urud al-tijara. So you need to find out what zakah you owe and how much you owe, and you need to ask for your individual situation. What I don't really want is someone says, okay, I watched a video or I watched 10 minutes, so now I'm going to do my zakah like this. It's not really like that. It's more what I'm after is that people are aware of the need to pay zakah upon urud al-tijara, upon trade goods. And then later, each individual asks about their own situation. I got a business partner, he owns 50%, I own 50%, this is how we did it, I invested this month, he invested this month, this is how we, and you look at it like you get an answer for each individual person. But hopefully, inshallah, we just gave you an understanding or a taste of zakah that is due upon business goods. We do have other ahadith that we need to deal with in Bulugh al-Maram. We have to deal with the subsequent ahadith on rikaz, the issue of treasure, and then the issue of mined goods and raw materials and things like that. So we have some more things to talk about, inshallah ta'ala, as we move on through Kitab al-Zakah. But probably next lesson we will move a little bit quicker because we have topics which are not so common among people, so we can, inshallah ta'ala, deal with them a little bit more quickly. But the reason we took a lot of time with this one is quite simply because so many people are involved in buying and selling and investing and all of the different aspects of urud al-tijara, trade goods. So it's important to realize that zakah is due upon that, and it's important to give the zakah properly. We pointed out some of the errors people make. One of the big errors people make is not counting the zakah from the time that they took possession of the money, but instead counting the zakah from the first time they bought something with it, or the first time that they used it or whatever. So this is one of the mistakes people make. And inshallah ta'ala, we try to, you know, clarify these things as we move on through the course on zakah. Okay, what do we have from the questions on the live stream? Do we have any questions? You're sending me some, huh? I'm confused.
If I buy parts to create a PC, for example, does it count as that also?
So someone buys parts to make a PC. Is it the case that they are selling that PC or they're using that PC? If they're using that PC, it doesn't come under trade goods. But if they're buying parts to sell that PC, then yes, it comes under trade goods. So as soon as the money comes in to buy the parts with, then the counter starts. And once a full Islamic year has passed, whatever parts are in your stock, your cash assets, plus the parts that you have in stock, plus any debts that are expected to be repaid, that is your zakah as it relates to that business that you're doing, selling PCs. So inshallah, that makes sense. At the end of the Islamic year, after you first got the money to buy those parts, then you look and you say, okay, how many parts do I have in stock? What's the value? So the value of those parts is $1,000 of parts I have in stock right now, because I haven't sold it yet and I'm waiting for the customer to come. So I've got $1,000 or $2,000 of parts. Plus I have the cash. I have $3,000 in cash and $2,000 in parts and maybe no debt that is expected to come back, repayments that are expected to come back. So in that case, the person pays zakat upon that $5,000, the $2,000 of parts and the $3,000 of cash that they had in this business year, this Islamic year that went by, since they got the money for the purpose of buying those parts. Is zakah due upon is zakah due upon a second home? Is zakah due upon a second home or the rent that you get? So the issue of the second home here is one of two issues. Either you purchased that home for the purpose of selling it, or you purchased it for the purpose of renting it, or you purchased it for the purpose of renting and selling it. Sahih? Does that make sense? I actually mentioned four last time, but just simplify it into three. Either I purchased it for the purpose of renting it, and I have no intention of selling it, maybe in the future, but I mean, I didn't buy it to sell, I bought it to rent. I didn't buy it to sell. Or I purchased it for the purpose of selling it. Or I purchased it for the purpose of renting it and selling it. In other words, I bought it to sell and I'm going to rent it in the meantime. What's the issue on the zakah for each of these three? The person bought the home for the purpose of renting it. Say, look, I'm not going to say I'll never sell it. I might sell it in the future, but I don't have any. When I bought it, my purpose was to buy a second home to rent out. So in this case, the zakah is due upon the profits from the rental, but it's not due upon the value of the home. Or the person said that I bought this house to sell. I bought it to do it up, wait for the price to go up and sell it. In this case, zakat is due upon the value of the house every time the Islamic year passes from the time that you got the money to purchase the house. The third situation is you bought it to sell it, but in the meantime, you're going to rent it. In which case, it's still considered urud tijara, business goods. You pay the zakat on the value of the house, as well as any cash in hand that you ended up from the profits that you made of renting it out every year. And that's why we said, but where a person has to be careful, and the biggest mistake I see people making this is, they think that selling something means that it's a trade good. It's not the case. Like, I'm going to sell my house. Okay, I'm going to sell my house. Like, everyone is going to sell their house at some point. Wallahu alam yani. That doesn't make it trade goods. Trade goods is when you bought the house for the purpose of selling the house, or for the purpose of selling and renting together. And you're like, I'm going to sell it, and in the meantime, I'm going to rent it. But someone who bought it just to rent it out and says, I don't know, maybe. I mean, one day if someone comes and offers me a lot of money for it, I might sell it. And the fact that it's a second home or a third home doesn't really change the situation, except that a person has to be honest with themselves about their intention. They have to be honest. If you bought that third home for the reason and the purpose of the price to go up and sell it, then it becomes urudu tijara. Person asks, well, how do I cover that zakah that is going off of that? Then the way that you cover the zakah that is going off of that is ideally by renting it out in the meantime in order to bring in an income which will offset. And of course, as the price, you're taking the market price every year, the value of the house every year, and you're paying 2.5% upon the value of the house at that time. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Okay, you sell your own car. You sell your own car. So I'm presuming you didn't buy the car to sell it. That's the question. I'm presuming your own car, you didn't buy it to sell it. You bought it to use it. And then you decided to sell your car at some point. This is not urud at-tijara. It's not trade goods. It's part of your normal wealth. It's part of your normal wealth. So now the person said, I sold it for 15,000 and I have 10,000 left a year later. Okay, so the money came from the car, 15,000. I spent 5, but a year later I have 10 left. Is zakah due upon it? Yes, but it's personal zakah. It's not business zakah. It's your personal zakah. It's because you've got an amount of money. That amount of money has been in your possession for an Islamic year. So you pay zakah on it on the grounds of personal zakah. That you've had any money that you receive, salary, selling, whatever it is, it's personal. I mean, personal, selling your personal goods. That money, if it has reached the nisab and a year goes by, all of the money you own, gold and silver and money that you own, and a year, Islamic year passes by, you pay the zakah upon that. And it doesn't matter that it came from the car that you sold or it came from something of yours that you sold. If you had money in your possession for one whole Islamic year, you pay the zakah upon that money. It's like zakah on savings rather than zakah on your car. There is no zakah due on your car that you keep. When people say there's no zakah due on the car, what do they mean? When someone says there's no zakah due on your car, they mean that the value of your car while you're driving it around. I'm driving around a 10,000 pound car. I don't have to calculate, okay, 10,000 every year I have to pay 250 pound. No, you don't pay anything on your, you don't pay anything on that 10,000 pound, because it's stored in your car that you're using, and you don't pay zakah upon the things that you are using, with the exception of jewelry, which we had spoken about already, the masail related to zakah upon the jewelry, and we said this is the reason why the scholars differed, right? Why did the scholars differ over women's jewelry? Because it's used and it has value. It's gold and silver, which has zakah, but it's also used. The woman uses it. We said, inshallah, the correct opinion, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best, is that zakah is due upon jewelry. Is due upon jewelry, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Someone is selling expensive shoes. So it's the same principle. It's the same principle that a person starts off with what? How does a person start off this business? A person starts off the business with money. When that money comes into the possession, the clock starts ticking. When that money comes into their possession, the clock starts ticking. At the end of an Islamic year, what happens? The person adds together the cash at hand, the value of those expensive trainers on the market price at that time, the normal, not the emergency value of like, look, I'm just going to quickly sell to closing down sale, but the normal value, as according to the market at that time, I've got this pair of trainers, it's worth £2,000. I've got this pair of trainers, it's worth £5,000. I've got this pair of trainers, it's worth £500. I've got this pair of trainers worth £200. Add them all together. They add together the cash. They add together any debts that are expected to be repaid. That's the total amount. And they pay the zakah 2.5% upon that. And that's after a year of the... That's after a year of having the money that they use to purchase those trainers that they are selling. And that happens every Islamic year. They look at the total assets. They look at the cash in hand. They look at the debts they expect to be repaid. And they give the zakah upon it. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. That's the end of those. Did anyone from here have anyone they wanted to ask about?
Questions regarding the goal. Some people say they've got so many. They just sit in the back. I'll just buy a goal. It's always a money. So I'm not using anything. The market goes high and you sell it. So I get extra money. If not, it's still the same money.
Here, it doesn't matter what their intention is. So I'll repeat the question for the purpose of the live stream. So it's a really good question. Some people, they have some money in the bank. They say, I'm going to buy gold. And the gold, either one of two things is going to happen. Either the value goes high, I'm going to sell it. Or either it will at least, you know, retain its value, right? Like at least it will retain its value and I keep it with me. And then, you know, as and when, I can either sell it or I can, you know, store it. It's better to store it in gold than to store it in money. It doesn't really matter which intention they have because both ways the zakah is due the same amount. Doesn't matter which one the intention they have because for both ways the zakah is due at the same amount because the zakah on gold and the zakah on trade goods is both the 2.5%, right? So the person took the money yani for the purpose of buying the gold, the zakah that is due upon that money originally has an Islamic timer on it, right? So the person's been saving up. The first time the money went over like that amount and they took that money and bought gold, so the timer started when they got the money, right? That time has been going 12 Islamic months. They bought gold with it, but it doesn't change. 12 Islamic months. Every one of those 12 Islamic months, 2.5% of the value is due. And we said, the reason we go back, and I don't think I mentioned it in the class here because I mentioned it to people before, but the reason we go back to this in the zakah is because at the end of the day, the purpose of the zakah is an-nama, is for your wealth to grow. And that's why you're paying zakah. You're not paying zakah to make your original amount go down. The value is going up. And as the value is going up and you're trying to get more and trying to get increase and trying to get profit, so you're paying zakah upon that extra that benefit that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you of making your wealth grow. Now it doesn't really matter whether it grows or it doesn't because sometimes some years it might grow, some years it might not. But you put it there for the purpose of growing. And that's why one of the core reasons why zakah is due. Because the word zakah in itself means an-nama, means to, and it means tathir wa nama, or it means at-tahara wa nama, it means purity and it means growth. So you're intending for that wealth to grow, and that's one of the main reasons why zakah is due upon some wealth, because it's been prepared for growth. I want my wealth to grow in value. My gold used to be worth £2,000, now it's worth £4,000. That's why I'm paying zakah upon it, because the purpose of it was for it to grow. Or the purpose of it was to purify the wealth, to clean it and to purify it from the haram that might have been involved when a person wasn't aware. Okay, we stop there, inshallah. It's about time for the Isha Adhan. We're going to do a series of hadith next week, inshallah ta'ala, which is going to be dealing with a various number of issues, including we're going to talk about rikaz, about treasure, we're going to talk about buried treasure, we're going to talk about what is taken out from the ground, the ores and minerals and materials and things like that, inshallah. And we see how far we get within the hadith for next week, inshallah. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla made easy for me to mention. Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Wa salatu wa salam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Jazakumullah khairan for watching. Please subscribe, share, and you can visit muhammadtim.com.